Amen. And thank you to our children for leading us in that way. In fact, you were enjoying them. All I was doing was feeling sorry for myself because I got to follow that. Wow. Thank you, children, and a lot of happy mothers and a lot of happy grandmothers in this room just now. And we appreciate you sharing your gifts with us. Floyd, thank you for playing as Steve is away from us for some time with family out west. Thank you, Bert, for reading for us. And it's always good to be here in our worship service together, sharing gifts among this rich laity. Our sermon text is found in John chapter 2. That's the second chapter of John's Gospel, starting with verse 1. We'll be reading through verse 10, a story that will be familiar to many of you, and a story that we visited not too long ago in a previous sermon. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. And he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This is the word of the Lord. Well, I don't know about you. I had my Mother's Day yesterday. It consisted of a phone call while I was on the highway between here and Smithfield. I called my mother, and she's 91 years young now, just about to turn 91. She's 90. We'll have a birthday in just a few weeks. And in some ways, healthier than she was a year ago. We had a good conversation, and it was just so good to hear her voice. And I had a chance to catch up with her, tell her more about you all, and we just continue to teach her about Franklin Baptist Church. And she expressed to me her peace that we had moved this far away, because she, the more she hears about you all, the better she feels about me being here instead of there. That was an important blessing of sorts, and a joyful Mother's Day for me to come away with yesterday morning. Well, have you ever heard the spider story by Robert Fulghum? It goes like this. He says, "This is my neighbor, nice lady, coming out her front door on the way to work in her looking good mode. She's locking the door now and picking up her daily luggage, purse, lunch bag, gym bag for aerobics, and the garbage bucket to take out. She turns, sees me, gives me the big smiling hello, takes three steps across her front porch, and goes, 'Ah!' That's a direct quote. At about the level of a fire engine, she makes this sound at full cry. Spiderweb. She has walked full force into a spiderweb, and the pressing question now, of course, where is the spider? She flings her baggage in all directions, and at the same time does a high kick jitterbug sort of dance like a crazed stork moving around, clutches at her face and hair, and goes, 'Ah!' at a new level of intensity, tries opening the front door without unlocking it, tries again, breaks the key in the lock, runs around the house headed for the back. Now you can hear a Doppler effect, 'Ah!' as she runs. Now, a different view of this scene. Here is the spider. Rather ordinary, medium gray, middle-aged lady spider. She's been up since before dawn working on her web. and all is well. Nice day, no wind, dew point just about right to make things sticky. She's out checking the moorings and thinking about the little gnats she'd like to have for breakfast, feeling good, ready for action. All of a sudden, calamity breaks loose. Earthquake, tornado, volcano, the web is torn loose and is wrapped around a frenzied moving haystack. And a huge piece of raw but painted meat is making a sound the spider never heard before. Ah! Well, that thing's too big to wrap up and eat later, she thinks. And it's moving too much to hold down. Jump for it. Hold on and hope. Dig in. Human being. She has caught a human being. And the pressing question now, of course, is, where is it going and what will I do when it gets there? The neighbor lady thinks the spider is about the size of a lobster and has big rubber lips and poisonous fangs. The neighbor lady will probably take a full shower and shampoo just to make sure it's gone, and then put on a whole new outfit to make sure she is not inhabited. The spider? Well, if she survives all this, she'll really have something to talk about. The one that got away was this big. And you should have seen the jaws on that thing. You know, depending on your perspective, your view of things can really differ. Talk with four witnesses about the traffic accident they just saw. You'll get four different stories. Try to move up through the customer service levels of a big corporation, and you may get a variety of explanations as to why the outcome you wanted is not going to happen. Ask folks from both families after a painful divorce, and you'll discover people taking each side. Mary, mother of Jesus. We all have our favorite view of her. We visited this text that you heard a minute ago, not terribly long ago, in a sermon, and the images of her that we have are probably colored heavily by who we are and where we are in life. The frightened and pregnant teenager giving a hopeful yes to God's plan. A resolved Mary nearly a year later, yielding her song of faith. A frail woman, great with child, turned away from the inn. The serene mother, sitting by the manger, gazing in wonder upon God come to live among us. Later in Scripture, you may have noticed a broken-hearted Mary, tough enough to sit near the cross until almost everyone else had left Jesus and had gone home. These are but a few of the ways in which we view the mother of our Lord. And today we see Mary on this Mother's Day from yet another angle. Our scripture in John's Gospel later calls this the first of his many signs. But I wonder if this particular sign would have ever happened if it hadn't been for the persistence of a mother who believed in her child. Cana of Galilee was a village near Nazareth. Mary had something to do with the arrangements of the wedding feast. One extra biblical writing tells us that Mary was the sister of the bridegroom's mother. What can sound like a discourteous exchange between Jesus and his mother may not have been so if the language had translated as exactly to English as we might like. Now, I have to acknowledge that Mary did something that perhaps only a mother could do. On the way to getting her son to do something that she knew he could do, she ran right through a pretty clear stop sign. I've mentioned that before. Mary and Jesus, guests at a wedding, the wine has run out, or as I was brought up to believe, the Welch's grape juice was all gone. In any event, she came to Jesus, and probably in front of everybody, and she stated the problem in the form of an instruction to Jesus, and he tried to plead with her that his time had not yet come, or his hour had not yet come. In his judgment, it was not time yet to become known as a miracle worker, something other than a plain carpenter's son. He told Mary, no. but her belief in him would not allow her to back down. And that's when it happened. She committed Jesus to perform the miracle by instructing the servants to do, quote, whatever he tells you, unquote. And his life was never the same, and our lives never had to be the same after that either. Well, the fascination with the miracle itself could take us away. What many believe was actually hand and foot washing water in those jars suddenly became good wine. So what do we make of this mother who would not take no from Jesus? Today, my recommendation is that we focus on the empowerment that many of us have gotten from mothers who believed in us. Just like Mary did, they saw something in us, something that we had to share with the world, something that made us unique or might just enable us to claim the promise that God has made us for. There have been a lot of tributes to the power that a good mom can have in our lives. Here are a few things that some have said about mothers. A mother is a person who, seeing there are only 4 pieces of pie left for 5 people, promptly announces that she never did really care for pie. Another person has said the heart of a mother is a deep abyss at the bottom of which you will always find forgiveness. Someone said when you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child. Or try this from the mouth of a mother herself. And this is the way she said it. Grown don't mean nothing to a mother. A child is a child. They get bigger, older, but grown? What's that supposed to mean? In my heart, it don't mean a thing. Now, I ought to acknowledge a couple of things before I go any further. Not everyone here found a positive, supportive experience with their mother. Some had quite a different experience, and that's a hard reality every Mother's Day for some of you. But many of you who might say that might also say that you found a mother figure in someone else in your life, and I pray that is so. Not all our mothers are blood relatives, you know. So we broaden our definition, our hearing just a bit as we explore Mary's story with Jesus today. There are times when a mother will believe in you, all right. Maybe before anyone else does. Our mother sees something she thinks is special in us. For some, our mothers have believed in us as we were achieving. We were discovering who we were, and right alongside us was that parental hope that fueled the journey. But for some, the story is yet different. Maybe after everyone else has ceased to believe in us, there sits our mother at the foot of our cross. Maybe for some, that kind of confidence, that brand of empowerment, was what allowed you to get back on track after a detour you didn't want in life. One thing appears to be true, though. If we capture such love, if we notice such reasons for belief and pass it on to others, life can be different for someone else. Jesus went away with his family, and he went away with some folks who were evidently already beginning to follow him around a little bit after this story you heard a few minutes ago. They went to Capernaum for a few days. John suggests that it was about this time that Jesus went to the temple in the Passover. He didn't like what he saw happening in the temple, and that's when he overturned the money changers' tables there. And after he did that, after he had done what he had done at the wedding at Cana, his life was on full tilt. Now, here's where you might say, Charles, I'm no Jesus. My mother can believe in me all she wants to, and I'll still just be me. Or you may have noticed that your child is no Jesus, and I would be disingenuous if I weren't honest at that point. There are some folks who need to wake up and see their loved ones for the realities that are in some of them. But in any event, Many of us have been the recipients of the life-giving power of a mom's love. And that has made a difference of some powerful kind. Elizabeth and I had the privilege one night to hear the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Danny Werfel, speak at a dinner. We had dinner with him that night because I was on the same program. And he told a story that gripped my attention. He said that throughout his life, he has been guided by an odd power, a voice that would speak to him when he was facing tremendous challenges. And he gave some examples. One time when he was young, his school was having a field day. They always ran a sprint race, and he wanted to win the ribbon in that race that day so badly. But he lined up for the race, and he got to looking at his competition, and he looked up and down the line and knew there were some fast guys there running against him. But right then, he heard a voice that said, "Danny, you're fast. Run as hard as you can." So he did compete as hard as he could. He's a Heisman Trophy winner eventually. He won the race. He was fast. In high school, his basketball team faced a tough opponent. And though outmanned, his coaches devised a defensive strategy that would at least give them a chance. But the odd detail of this defensive strategy that they devised just to give them a chance would involve Danny Werfel having to guard the biggest player on the other team. And that voice inside him started speaking just before the game. "Danny, you're a strong guy too. You're strong enough to stand up. You can do this for 32 minutes. As the University of Florida quarterback, he faced tough defenses every week. But in one key game, the scouting report was grim. Before the game, Florida favored to lose this game. The voice once again spoke up. "Danny, you're ready for this. You're a good quarterback. You know the game plan. You're good enough." As a young married man and an NFL player, he and his wife Jessica had a son born to them. And Danny's mom came to town to stay with them for a while. She wanted to help out. And he said one night she left the table to go rock the baby to sleep. After a while, he walked down the hall, and to go to the room he was headed to, he had to pass the nursery. And as he neared, he heard that voice. He stopped and he looked in, because this was the voice he'd heard all his life, but he'd never known where it had come from. And he saw his own mother rocking his baby. And she was saying, "You're a beautiful boy. You are a strong man. You have strength born into you. You have what it takes for this life. You're going to be so smart. We love you." And he said, "I walked away, finally knowing the source of the mysterious voice and knowing that it had been hers all along." Friends, I believe that God faithfully uses what we give God to work with. And today, I hope that those of us who had positive experiences with our mothers can celebrate what they have given to our lives. And I hope those of us who managed to somehow, somewhere, find a mother figure will celebrate that in our lives. Some people believe this story that you heard in chapter 2 of John's Gospel is here in John's Gospel to signal a watershed moment in God's kingdom. That is, if we only hear Mary on the surface, she instructs the servants that day to do whatever he says to do. But if this story is used not just to impress us with Jesus' ability to do tricks, but to signal something new in God's story with us, then that little phrase also holds deeper meaning for us. Do whatever he says to do is also an injunctive for you and for me. These words are placed here for us to find and to heed, right along with the servants at the wedding at Cana. And some of our mothers recommended that to us as they raised us in the faith. After Jesus had worked his miracle, the story gives us at least one more thing to consider. The master of the banquet tastes the new wine, and he observes everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. And to be faithful to the scripture, this detail seems to point out to what God wanted to do in humanity from this point forward. It highlighted a new chapter in life with Jesus and in the kingdom, but let's not excuse ourselves from this being our story too. I have an uncle who was ill down in Florida a few years ago at one point. It looked like final things were beginning to happen. And he almost died. My own parents' health challenges by then made me feel like I needed to be the one that drove them down there. They wanted to see him one more time. And so I arranged very quickly to leave town with him and drive them down there. We ended up staying overnight in a hotel. And we had some time to ourselves before we could go see him the next day. And as we were in a hotel, my parents and I had a long, memorable conversation. They told me things about their childhoods that I had never known. We reflected on the ways in which that had formed them and shaped the decisions that they had made along the way. And I came away from that talk well into my 40s, amazed that I had that much more to learn still about my own family. Some of us may feel like we're all grown up. We could be tempted to think in whatever stage, and as I look out in this room every Sunday, I usually see at least four generations gathered here in front of me. And no matter what stage of your life you're in, we could be tempted to think that we've seen about all there is to see in our lives. We may feel that we long ago passed the point where we needed any more upbringing. And that's fair enough. But I'd ask you to look deeper. And today, my question for us all might be, what really did our mothers instill in us? Is it possible that there are more gifts yet to be claimed? Is it possible that the best has been saved until now? However you may have sized up your parents, to this point, a lifetime isn't enough to ask all the questions and learn all the lessons that we could. Even in the ways that our mothers or our fathers were challenging people for us, there were formative gifts given. Traits, values, encouragements, questions. They might guide us to discover still more about who we could be in whatever chapter of our lives we now live. This week, the story of a mother in Flint, Michigan went viral in social media, and by this weekend began to show up in our newscasts. It was the story of a mother who last weekend skipped her own college graduation because her son was graduating from a different college. A college that was some distance away from hers. They were at exactly the same time on the same day, and so she made the decision that as hard as she had worked to earn her degree finally, she wanted to be at her son's graduation. The president of her college heard about it, got on the phone to the president of his college, and in the space of a few hours, they checked out the legalities and all the policies and procedures and figured out that they might be able to help this family out a little bit in this odd situation. And so when it came time for the son to be recognized at his graduation, the college had found the mother and pulled her out of the crowd and had her put on a cap and gown. And the president of her son's college conferred her degree upon her in absentia from her graduation. A mother's love seems to know no boundaries, geographic, personal, power, forgiveness, love, And Jesus' own mother captures that for us in such a memorable way when she runs through a stop sign he tried his best as a son to put down for her, because her confidence in him wouldn't let her take a no. And because of that, the host of the banquet said, "You've saved the best till now." May we consider our mothers. May we name the challenges, the lessons, the blessings, the love that have come from our mothers, the mother figures, the teachers, the nurturers at our workplaces, who we think of on this Mother's Day. May we give thanks. And may we continue to ask the questions that unlock the lessons and the secrets, and that continue to help us to learn about ourselves even till now, because perhaps the best has been saved till this moment. Our hymn of response is listed in your worship bulletin. It's hymn number 682, "Christ Be My Leader." We have an opportunity to respond just now, and I pray that you will do that exactly where you are. As always, the doors of our church and the doors into faith as practiced by this outpost of our faith are open during this hymn as well. And so if it's time for you to bring your life to this fellowship, this community, if it's time for you to bring back your life to this fellowship or this community, we open those doors to you just now. As you're able, let's sing together hymn number 682.